here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I am Ryan McQueenie, an associate stock strategist here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello, today is Friday, June 1st, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world. It was a huge week packed with macroeconomic and geopolitical news, and we will be covering all of the market-moving headlines out of Washington, the EU, and everywhere else later in today's show.
But before we get there, Q1 earnings season effectively wrapped up with just a few more marquee reports this week. So we'll do a quick power run, a speed run through the top reports before moving on to those major stories. Maddie, I'm going to have you start with Lululemon.
Yes, Lulu, a personal favorite of mine. Love the athleisure giant. They beat earnings estimates. The company reported earnings of 55 cents per share, handily beating the Zacks consensus estimate of 46 cents per share. They also beat revenue estimates. The company saw revenue figures of $649.7 million and topping our consensus estimate of $616.32 million. This number surged 25% year over year. Total comparable sales increased a whopping 20%, while comparable store sales grew 8%, which is pretty good for a retailer. Direct-to-consumer net revenues soared 62% from the prior year period. These results, plus upbeat guidance, lifted shares more than 10% in early morning trading today.
Solid, solid quarter from Lululemon all around. Moving on here to Costco, the membership based big box retail giant.
Plus the sample king.
Yes, sample king, yes. Costco beat earnings estimates. Adjusted earnings of $1.70 per share was well ahead of the Zacks consensus estimate of $1.51 per share. Revenue also topped estimates. Revenue came in at $32.4 billion. That beat our consensus estimate of $31.7 billion. Total revenue was up 12% from the year-ago period, and e-commerce sales surged about 37% in the quarter. Investors were, however, concerned about price cuts and rising freight costs, which put a dent in margins. The stock did open lower on Friday morning. It was able to bounce off of that morning low quickly, but kind of some weird volatile trading already early Friday morning. So one to watch as the day goes on, definitely.
Yeah. Ulta also reported.
Power run right over to Ulta. Another one of your favorites? I don't want to speak for you.
But it is one of my favorites. I like them just as equally as I love, because love implies that I like something more. Like Sephora, I was just at Ulta this past weekend and spent too much money. So Ulta beat earnings estimates. The company reported earnings of $2.70 per share, also easily beating the Zacks consensus estimate of $2.48 per share. EPS increased 31.7% year over year. The company also beat revenue estimates. The company saw revenue figures of $1.4 billion, and this surpassed our consensus estimate of $1.53 billion and grew 17.4% year over year. Ulta said comparable sales grew 8.1%, while e-commerce sales were up nearly 50% year over year. The company also raised its previously announced 2018 EPS guidance. However, the stock was down nearly 5% at the open, although it too bounced off that opening low and might rebound further as the day progresses. I know comps guidance was lower than what analysts were expecting, so they freaked out. Just to say the least, but still, they killed it. Ulta killed it.
Yeah, as we've come to expect with Ulta, almost to the point where it's a kind of an issue that expectations are so high.
And then they like can't like meet those like really high expectations because they were really high like 1 to 2 years ago.
Yeah, it seems like earnings season because over the past year or so for them.
Like comparable store sales were like 11 to 12%. Like 1 or 2 years
always ago. Like every quarter.
Yeah, it was insane.
Yeah, so I think definitely They kind of unintentionally made their bed there. But
right.
Moving on to Italy. Italy was in the news this week.
Yes.
It's not
For being just really pretty.
Yes.
And for wine.
Good time of the year to be in Italy, definitely. A little bit of political chaos, though, right now.
Yes.
So those headlines reached the U.S. this week. Just want to give a kind of a quick summary of the whole story for those who don't know about Italian politics, which I think is probably most of us before this week.
Yes.
So Italy, which is the Eurozone's third largest economy, is witnessing this political turmoil involving kind of a power struggle between what we'll call Eurosceptic populists. So people skeptical about the EU and the euro as a currency, and then the pro-European Union establishment politicians. Now, the key here is that this people of Italy, high unemployment, kind of, you know, sluggish economic recovery. Everyone over there in Europe is in this recovery mode, but Italy has faced their challenges. People were very frustrated with the establishment politicians who happen to be pro-EU. And in these recent elections, what happened was there was a hung parliament where Italians really shook things up with the parties in power.
Yeah, and this was back in March.
Yes, or okay. March 4th, I believe. Mm-hmm. So they kind of removed the standard liberal and conservative parties in favor of two different kind of upstart populist movements with two just absolutely phenomenal names. So Five Star, which is a populist movement started by an Italian comedian, and that is a left-wing movement. And then The League, which is an anti-EU group led by right-wing firebrand Matteo Salvini. Give me a couple Italian names I'm going to butcher in this. I'm just going to throw that. So, but Salvini is the leader of the League, which is, you know, which we've seen, we obviously have seen our own kind of right-wing populist movements here in the U.S.
Definitely.
It's been a major thing in Europe, especially as that continent has its own very unique immigration issues and unique economic issues. So the trend has continued in Italy. Now, the uncertainty this week came as because it really looked like the two sides were not going to be able to come together and form a coalition government. And this kind of caused a Eurozone-led sell-off, strong sell-off over there, European stocks, and then that kind of moved into the U.S. here this week. However, significant progress made within the last few days. The new government is being sworn in today. So that's good news.
Okay, yeah.
A little bit more stability, although many, many questions linger. So it's going to be led by Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte, who was nominated by the leaders of the League and Five Star Movement. So they were able to come together and agree on nominating a prime minister. The thing to note about Conte is that he basically has no political experience. Funny, I hadn't heard of that before. He was a lawyer and kind of is in Italian politics a bit of a mysterious character because nobody knows seems to know too much about him or what his political experience is. Now, the leaders, a leader from the League and a leader from Five Star will serve as deputy prime ministers. So they both get leadership positions. And then kind of, yeah, taking a step back, just to add some context here, Italy definitely has a colorful history in terms of political leadership. Thinking back to like the Berlusconi days, it's always seems to be something interesting going on over in Italy. This is definitely, this cast of characters is still certainly unique by those standards. So while the stability seems a little bit better now because there is a government being sworn in today, I think many, many, many questions linger as to what the effectiveness of this government will be with being led by two kind of upstart coalitions that have very little in agreement. And I think the one thing that we'll see they do agree on is this kind of skepticism about the EU. And that's really coming from this populist sentiment in the grassroots of Italy. And so it'll be very, very interesting to watch going forward what is going to happen between Italy and the European Union. I think many kind of commentators have said they have to stay in the European Union. They have to stay on the euro.
Right, because that was the questions that came up earlier this week when there was no government, and that's why investors freaked out. Yeah. Was Italy going to pull out of the eurozone? Were they going to drop the euro? And that's why we saw the market-wide sell-off here in the U.S. The Dow was down, like they dropped a little under 400 points. I mean, we have to also consider that Italy's government debt load is €2 trillion. €2 trillion. And what's interesting is that this the fiscal spending policy, what I was reading is that if they spend more, it's going to increase their the government debt load, which is, let me say this again, €2 trillion. Euros.
Yeah.
So they really are going to have to, like you said, or they're going to have to really figure out what they're going to do. What's the next step? What's the best way forward for Italian citizens? And what's going to be the most effective government?
Yeah, and it's coming from those citizens being very frustrated with the establishment politicians and just being a little bit more on what you touched on about this kind of craziness we saw midweek. If the government had failed to form, it would have gone back to another election. And when one side of that election is saying, we're going to pull out of the EU, we're going to move off the currency, whatever, if that is a very forward part of their platform, which for the far right side it is, then the new elections essentially become a referendum on leaving the European Union.
And also the euro.
And the last time we saw a major referendum on leaving the European Union, we thought for sure that wasn't going to go through, wasn't going to pass. And then we had Brexit, and that obviously caused crazy panic and crazy volatility. So having been through that recently, I think investors were a bit concerned.
Because then that could have spread to other countries.
Exactly. And that, you know, that was the concern with Brexit, is that it would spread to other countries. And then here we are a couple years later talking about it in Italy. So keep your eyes on Italy now as this government moves forward. It's a bunch of people with not a ton of political experience. So that might be good. It might be bad. We'll see. Moving on, though, trade war stuff. More news from the trade war.
Yeah, more trade hashtag drama.
Yes.
So what was once a so-called trade war between the U.S. and China has turned into more of an international issue because President Trump levied new charges on steel and aluminum from allies like the European Union, Canada, and Mexico this week. And let me tell you, they were not happy about it. That group responded in kind on Thursday, saying that they would respond to the U.S. tariffs with their own punitive measures targeting American products. Meanwhile, even more news came down on the China front this week, with the Trump administration, announcing Tuesday it would impose tariffs on $50 billion worth of Chinese goods and restrict Chinese investments in the United States. I think specifically, not specifically, but a lot in the tech industry. China has already said it is ready to retaliate nearly immediately. The new actions came as a surprise to many, and the stakes of the trade war now look higher than ever. On one hand, Trump and his team continue to argue that the tariffs protect American interests, while many critics have labeled the moves as protectionism that will cause an unneeded global economic burden. So I know Macron was like, dude, I thought we were bros.
That's the thing, is, you know, as you said earlier, these are allies. This is the EU, this is Canada, this is Mexico. These aren't people we really want to be causing unneeded problems.
They were definitely friends. Now they're kind of frenemies, so they definitely have put us in their own burn book, and that is a reference to Mean Girls in case you haven't watched the movie. So more trade drama this week. Let's see what next week brings.
It's getting very serious. This seems the realest that it seemed thus far. I'm not gonna say outright that I'm concerned, but I'm getting a little bit concerned. So, as moving on, wrapping things up here, I just want to touch a little bit on the jobs report because we got that this morning for Friday of the month. So we get a jobs report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 223,000 new jobs for the month of May from the non-farm payroll BLS report. That is well up from the previous month and much higher than the trailing three-month average of 179,000. That means the unemployment rate dipped even further, down to 3.8%. That is the lowest we have seen since the turn of the millennium. Historic unemployment rate. It's shocking. Yeah. Also, we got a little bit of wage data in the report. Average hourly earnings grew 0.3%. That's up from the just minuscule 0.1% gain we saw in April. Year over year, that's 2.7% growth in wages. This is still in what people have called the Goldilocks territory, where growth is not too hot, not too cold. We're seeing a strong labor market without the negatives of runaway inflation. I always am obligated to point out that there are versions of the Goldilocks story in which Goldilocks ends up getting eaten by bears. So it's not necessarily, you don't necessarily want to stay in Goldilocks forever.
That's true.
And
our children's like fairy tales, there was always like the Disney version and then the actual version, on which it was based on.
The Brothers Grimm version where there's death and destruction. Ugh. I think the moral of the story, regardless of what version of Goldilocks you're reading, is don't be Goldilocks. She kind of sucks. So I'm kind of worried about the fact that everyone's just like, yeah, Goldilocks, we're doing good. Because that's like not the takeaway I had from the story. I will say, though, this, you know, it's a balancing act. The Fed is responsible for maintaining the balancing act. As we know that the Fed typically overshoots in their efforts to control these things. So how long the Goldilocks environment will stick around, I don't think anyone truly knows. And Mia is not a professional economist, certainly does not know. But yeah, another solid jobs report. So definitely a lot to take in this week as we take a step back and look at all of the drama out of Europe, China, Italy, jobs, the White House, Washington, D.C. It's crazy. So much going on. And in a short week, too, which is, it felt very long
I
with
know.
All the
I think
the,
it was on purpose.
All right. That does it for us this week, though. As a reminder, feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com if you feel that we missed anything or if you want us to cover a different story. Of course, you can always check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. Remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. We are also now available on Spotify. Search for Zacks Investment Research there, and you will find all of our shows. Follow us there if that is your preferred podcast outlet. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you next time on the Zacks Friday Finish Line.